Thanks for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and to make Him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. I sincerely hope you enjoy this week's content.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Paul Michelson. I'm an elder at Streams and a part of the leadership team. And today I have the privilege of introducing our next series that we're going to be going through for the next several weeks. It's on the book of James. It's entitled, A Faith That Works. There is a plethora of people in Western Christian culture that make the claim of being Christian, who profess to be Christian, but really don't show any evidence of it in their life. There's no practical expression of their faith. It's just a verbal thing. It's just an identity. So it might be that they have grown up in Sunday school and they had a beginning faith at that time, but then it didn't pass over, it didn't transfer to their adult life, or perhaps even they attend church right now, but it's just a habit and it's just out of a sense of what they're supposed to do, but there's not a living, vibrant faith. Faith has gone dormant. In some cases, Christianity has become a default identity, I believe, because, well, we're part of a country that is basically Christian. Christian is the majority religion, and they're good people, and they must be Christian. And I know that I've got people in my circle of friends and neighbors that's exactly what they think. Well, yeah, if I've got to pick something, I must be a Christian, because I basically have been surrounded by that my whole life. And then we've got those whose faith simply is a formal consent to certain belief systems and doctrines. So there's not a practical expression of it, though. It doesn't work out in their lives in the way that they actually live. So that is the kind of situation that James addresses. Francis Chan, in his book, Letters to the Church, wrote this: in the Ironman Man triathlon, participants swim 2.4 miles, they bike 112 miles, and they run 26.2 miles. If I asked you to watch it with me, many of you would consider it. If I asked you to compete in it with me, that number would drop considerably, and I would be among those that would drop out at that point for sure. There are millions of people in our country who call themselves Christians because they believe the Christian life is about admiring Christ's example, not realizing it is a call to follow it. If they really understood this, the numbers would drop drastically. So again, that's the situation that James addresses. And I think the point in the entire message or series is going to be clear, but also today's point, I think you will get very clear. It's a situation of expression, profession of faith, but not practical expression of it. So just a few things to begin the series, lay a foundation. The author is not James, one of the original 12 apostles, but it is believed that he was James, the brother of the Lord Jesus, who came to faith as an adult after Jesus died and then rose from the dead. It may be the earliest New Testament book written, or at least one of the earliest ones. So perhaps something like AD 45 to AD 50. If we take AD 30 as the date, which is often suggested for the crucifixion of Christ, we're talking 15 to 20 years. And the recipients were most likely Jewish Christians that were scattered in the area around Palestine. So James writes this letter to them as an exhortation to live out their faith. They had come to faith for a few years now and had been really emphasizing freedom in Christ. They grew up following the law, and now the message of grace and freedom of Christ had released them from any semblance of trying to do what the law says. And so now they were experiencing freedom, but the result was there was nothing practical. They were professing their faith, but they were not living it out. So if we were to state the purpose for the book, it would be something like this: to counteract a default Christianity, a type of Christianity that is professed, but that is not expressed in action. The message would be this: it's not enough to claim to be a Christian. It must be more than mental. Our expression of faith must not just be verbal, but it must be practical. And so if we say we're a Christian, it must show in our conduct. Now, the key verse would be, I think it's verse 22, chapter 1, that says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Today, we're going to look at a passage, and we're not starting in chapter 1, but we're going to go to chapter 2 because it's the theological foundation for everything else that James is going to say. So I'm going to be attacking that today. We're going to look at that passage that begins in verse 14. And the message today is simply, how does authentic faith express itself? Or how do I know my faith is real? So if you would look with me, we're going to look first of all at verse 14, which says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can that kind of faith save him?" Note that the faith is expressed. It's not worked out, but it's simply an expression of faith. If you say you have faith. So the first thing in identifying what real faith looks like and how we know if we have real faith is real faith is consistent with a right understanding of salvation. And so James says again, what kind of faith do you have? Is it really faith? Can that faith save a person if it's not accompanied by works? Now, wait just a minute. That seems to conflict with what we know from Paul. Paul said it completely different. He said faith is all we need for salvation. We can't add anything to it. And now James is saying, well, faith is inadequate without works. So how do we resolve that? And there are many opponents of Christianity who have seized on apparent contradictions in Scripture, people such as Bill Maher, and have said, well, have you noticed all the contradictions? This is one of those seeming contradictions that is often pointed to, but in almost all cases, seeming contradictions can be worked out when we understand the framework and the setting and the context in which it was said. So understanding the context is how we're going to resolve it. And let me give you a few differences. Well, let's start off by just noting what Paul did say, I think. Romans 3:28, we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Okay, Paul. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any person should boast. So it does appear like, man, that seems to be in conflict with what James is saying here. So these are some things, though, that are different in the context as we look at the flow, the background flow of what each of those authors is saying. So for Paul, the setting is people who wanted to keep the law for salvation. For James, the setting is completely different. It's people who wanted to live selfishly after they were saved. They express freedom in Christ. The subject matter is different. So for Paul, it's the means of salvation, which is faith. For James, it is the evidence of salvation, which is works. Now, the next two I am borrowing, I want to give credit to Rick Warren. I took them from him. And if you have read anything from Rick Warren, you know that he loves alliteration, for one thing, and his points, and he loves to rhyme. So this point is from him. The emphasis in each is different. With Paul, it's how to know I'm saved, and that's by faith. With James, it's how to show I'm saved, and that's by works. Rick Warren says, the focus is different. For Paul, the root of my salvation is faith. For James, the fruit of my salvation is works. So what would be then a right understanding? If we're saying that real faith involves having a right understanding of salvation, what would that right understanding be? Salvation is by faith alone. We can't add anything to it. It's done by Christ, complete, it's finished. So Paul's correct in that. Salvation is completely by faith. But this is what James is saying. Genuine faith, if it is authentic, leads to a practical expression. It leads to, as he says, works or action is worked out. And the heart of it really is a changed heart, which is what salvation accomplishes in us. Paul says in another place, we are a new creation in Christ. When Christ comes into us, he changes us internally. So it's outside of, or from that inner transformation or change of my heart, my very basic identity, that I begin to behave differently. I begin to act differently. My conduct now changes. So we're not talking about legalism here. Legalism is where you emphasize works in order to be right with God. You've got to do certain things or God rejects you. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about the evidence of salvation. We're talking about that inner transformation, which leads to action and works. Okay, so let's go to the next verse, which is verse 15. So we're in chapter 2 of James, verse 15. I'm going to read through verse 17. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So what is real faith? How do we know if we have real faith? Real faith is more than sympathy for people in need. It's more than that. So we have an example here James gives of a person who is lacking clothing. He's cold. Cold weather is coming, and he doesn't have enough clothing to wear, and he's hungry. He doesn't have enough food. And our natural reaction is going to be sympathy. We feel for the person, but it's got to go more than just sympathy if our faith is real. So in sympathy, we'll say, boy, I feel bad for you, and I hope that you get help somehow, and we go on our way. Whereas real faith says, I've got to get involved. I've got to do something about it. So real faith leads us to take action. So James' conclusion is in verse 17, where he says, so faith without works is dead. In other words, it's not genuine faith. Let's go to verse 18, which says, You believe that God is one. Actually, I skipped verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So here we see that real faith is more than a mental idea. So what James is saying is that as he has given this teaching about faith needs to be expressed in works, or it's not real faith, an objector, someone who wants to challenge that line of thought, comes to him and says, well, you might have faith and I have works, as if it's simply two alternative expressions of who we are with our ministry gifts. So some people have the gift of faith and some people have a gift of works. They have the natural ability to kick in and help people. James says, if it's not a practical faith, if it's not a faith that expresses itself, it is not a genuine faith. And so he says in answer, if you show me that kind of faith that has nothing to back it up, I will there show you genuine faith by the practical expression in works. So real faith is more than a mental idea. If it's just mental, if that's all it is, then it is not real. It's not genuine faith, because real faith has the characteristic of leading one to action. Okay, verse 19. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? So a characteristic of real faith is more than simply a truth, I believe. So now we've gotten into the area of doctrine. And what he's saying is that you can believe all the right things. You can have your doctrine down and yet not be living out real, practical faith. It doesn't come from believing the right things. So he gives an example here, and the example, I think, is indisputable, and that's demons. Demons believe the right things about God. They know the truth about God, but yet they shudder in fear. Obviously, they don't have real salvation. Obviously, they don't have real faith, but yet they believe the right things. How does it apply to us? James writes several examples throughout his book that we're going to be looking at in our ongoing series. He addresses it's practical Christianity. It's how to deal with temptation, how to deal with struggles and hard times and suffering in our lives. How do we treat people that are in a lower economic level than us? How do we look at them? How do we deal with them? And then there's a lot of time he spends on how do we talk? What's our speech like? How do we use our tongue? So many, many very practical things that we're going to be getting into. But I want to close today with just giving some very specific application. And there's a risk here that I will be taken in a legalistic manner. And that's certainly not what I believe that I'm doing. Legalism says we do certain things in order to be accepted by God. And that is not what I'm saying. I'm saying there needs to be an expression that is practical to your faith. So let me suggest some things to you. I think a real faith will get active when we become aware of a place, a person that is in need, and we don't just ignore it. And we have the two things. We become aware of the need, and we have the resources to help. We can actually do something about it. Faith will be shown. We will act on it by being loving and kind in all of our interactions, all of them, not just certain people that are more lovable, but everybody that we come in contact with. We will treat people in a very loving, kind way. I think faith will express itself in honesty and being completely ethical in our communication. And then speaking of being ethical, we will be ethical in the way that we do things at work and in our business transactions. And when we at work, when we sign to something saying we have done it, that means we've done it. That's our word. That's the kind of ethics I'm speaking about. And then this, I think, will speak directly to the men. And that is, if our faith is genuine, we're going to treat our wives with love and respect. You can't get out of doing that. That is the practical expression of faith, is how we treat those that are closest to us in our families. And of course, the same applies to our wives. So we can say we have faith, but that's just words. That's all it is, unless it's got a practical expression. So the question that we're going to finish with today is our faith real? Is it authentic? If we have real faith, we're going to express it in the things that we do. It's a simple point, I think, that you're going to be able to take this away today and put it into place. Think about your life and your lifestyle and your conduct. And let's remember, genuine faith is going to express itself in the way that we live our lives. Would you bow your heads with me and let's just go to the Lord for a moment as we close. Lord, we're thankful to you for your word and just how you speak to our hearts. And I believe that you are speaking today, Lord. And I just pray that you would open up our eyes to see areas that we need to apply this today, Lord, where we are not living out our faith, where we're acting differently in our action than what our true heart is, who you have made us to be. So I pray that you would put those things upon my heart, Lord, that where I need to make a change and be active in my faith. And let those of us that are listening today as well do that, Lord. Point out and speak to us and reveal to us the things that need to change. We want to give thanks today for your word. And I just pray that your people, Lord, will grow as they hear your word and as it is applied in their lives. And teach us how to do it, Lord. Lead us in applying your word to our lives. And we just give you thanks for that today. In your name, we pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. If you want to know more about our church, you can go to our website, streamschurch.org. Also, follow us on Instagram and like us on Facebook. We would love to connect with you. Again, if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Until next time, have a great week.